And the epistle for the second Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk, that you may abound the more. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor circumvent his brother in business, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God hath not called you unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Second of the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. At that time Jesus taketh up unto him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples hearing fell upon their face and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said to them, Arise and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. As far as the words of today's Holy Gospel. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you're familiar with classical literature, you may be familiar with Greek and Roman mythologies. In the 700s and 500s BC, these fables and poems of mythology became quite popular. Some were based off of God's primitive revelation, and others were just fables to teach lessons, like Aesop's fables. In one such fictional story in Greek mythology, Daedalus was a master craftsman and inventor in Athens. He was the architect of the famous labyrinth, or inescapable maze, in the Greek island of Crete. Eventually, the king, Minos, threw Daedalus and his son, Icarus, into the labyrinth because Daedalus had helped an enemy of the king. And so it seemed that Daedalus and Icarus would die trapped in the labyrinth. However, the genius craftsman constructed wings for himself and his son, using feathers, threads from blankets, and garments, and putting them all together with beeswax. Having tested that the wings would work and that they could escape, Daedalus warned his son to follow his path of flight, and not to fly too close to the sun, nor too close to the sea. If Icarus flies too low, the humidity and moisture of the sea will weigh him down. If the young man flies too high, the sun's heat will melt the wax, and sent him cascading down. So after trying this out, and after his dad's warning, both Daedalus and Icarus then took off. They broke the walls of the labyrinth. They escaped and were flying through the air. But after getting over the initial fear, the young man became very excited and was overcome by the giddiness while flying. Icarus became comfortable, too comfortable, and was blinded to the danger of flying by his excitement. Icarus forgot his father's instructions not to fly too close to the sun, and he mounted higher and higher in the air, causing the beeswax in his wings to melt. Icarus, according to this mythology, fell from the sky, crashed into the sea, and drowned. And it was from this ancient myth that gave rise to the expression, which perhaps we've heard today, don't fly too close to the sun. Now, as you well know, my dear faithful, we are called to be saints. And we are supposed to one day be transfigured in heaven, like our Lord was in today's gospel. And there is a spot waiting for us right now in heaven. It has our name on it, first and last name, and is waiting for us. That is what we are striving for daily. It is our finish line. And St. Paul gives us the instructions, the guidelines, the directions to get to that finish line in today's epistle. This epistle is St. Paul's urgent Lenten plea. He, in the Greek and also in the Hebrew, it says he beseeches and exhorts. But in the newer Latin Vulgate translation, it says, I pray and exhort. But this is his fatherly way of saying, I hope and I pray. St. Paul hopes and prays that you walk and live in the will of God. He reminds us not only of the Lenten abstinence, but also reminds us to abstain from impurity. And in this epistle, he is exhorting us to live in the state of grace and not in the passion of lust, nor to live in sin. And St. Paul closes this epistle saying, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus the thesis to us, the whole point, is contained in the fourth verse of this epistle, when he says, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That every one of us should possess our soul in grace and preserve it from sin. I am absolutely certain that wholeheartedly that we desire and we would do anything to preserve our children from any danger, as we want our children to be safe in public and at school with regards to their physical safety and, more importantly, to their moral safety. The entertainment that enters their eyes or enters their minds, the conversations or their companions, the ideas and agendas that are being pushed at them. We are very careful about these things, and we care very much about them. And well, it is the same care that God has for all of us. God wants us to be safe from moral danger and to keep us unsullied by sin. He wants us to flee from sin and to avoid the danger of offending him. So today, I would like to preach to you about occasions of sin. Now, when I was considering this topic, I considered that I could give you definitions, I could define proximate and remote dangers of sin, I could distinguish between absolute and relative occasions. I could give you information about necessary or voluntary situations. And although this is good knowledge to have, and certainly I will preach to you about these things someday or another, but while I was praying and meditating upon these things, I thought to myself, what I really want to do is to motivate ourselves to stop sinning, to encourage us to wake up and understand better the horror of sin and the danger of occasions of sin, and to move you to eradicate sin and its dangers from your day. This is your day. You wake up at this time. You roll out of bed, hopefully morning offering, duties, breakfast, coffee, work or school. Whatever is your schedule, whatever it turns out to be, I want to move you and help you to eradicate from your schedule the occasions of sin. And so instead of giving definitions or distinctions, I thought, I will simply start with giving you the motives of avoiding sin, which we pray, hopefully every day, in the act of contrition. Oh my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee, and I detest all my sins because, and the first motive is, because I dread the loss of heaven. I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose my soul. I want to go to heaven. And so the first reason not to sin is that I am unwilling to forfeit my place in heaven. I dread the loss of heaven, and then the second motive is given. I dread the pains of hell. Just to quote a few of the scripture passages concerning hell, our Lord said this terrifying and dreadful place would be everlasting fire, a place where sinners and demons are punished in flame day and night, a place of darkness, a pool of unquenchable fire, burning with brimstone where the worm dieth not. That is the place for unrepentant sinners, and the place for those who do not care if they jump into the occasions of sin. Then the third motive we say and pray in the act of contrition is the most perfect of motives. Yes, I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell, but most of all, because they offend thee, my God, who art all good and deserving of all my love. He doesn't deserve this. He deserves our love. He doesn't deserve sin or offense. But sin offends God. It hurts the Sacred Heart and it breaks His heart. Our sin is the reason He went to Calvary, the reason He went through all the stations of the cross, which we have been praying every Friday. All those stations of falling, meeting the eyes of His sorrowful mother, wiping His face with Veronica, that was a consolation. But all those things, those stations, He went through because of our sins. With the heavy cross of coming and having poured out all of His blood. All this followed His bloody sweat that made His whole flesh, His whole body very tender and sensitive to pain even more so. Can you imagine the sorrow and stress? We think we have stress, which we do. We have normal people's stress. But can you imagine the sorrow and the stress which He must have undergone to have sweat blood because of our sins? He saw every sin from the time of Adam, Abel, the patriarchs, before Christ, after our Lord, the Jews, the Pharisees, even to our sins, every murder, every sin until the last day on earth. Every murder, every sin of impurity, every theft, every single one was on His back. And that is why He suffered all these things. And we can remind ourselves that the precious blood of our most sweet Jesus was the price of our sins. If then, occasions of sin are the doorway to grieving God, then let us not step in the threshold. Let us not go near that door handle. Let us not even go near that door of the occasion of sin. This ought to be our attitude to sin then, and it ought also to be our attitude even to the occasions of sin. If in our day there is a danger to sin, something that would make us lose heaven, that would make us merit the pains of hell, and that would pain our Lord, we must walk away. Our Lord said, "If thy right eye scandalize thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. If thy right hand scandalize thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. It is better that one of you, our members should perish, rather than our whole body and soul be cast into hell." If a certain person, place, or thing is a danger, fly from it. If the computer or television is a trap or a danger, turn it off and walk away from it. If the phone or a device is a grave danger, put it down and don't pick it up if there is still danger. St. Bernardine of Siena, he gave a quote that I found a couple weeks ago that it can be a little bit striking. It might be much, but it is very helpful to move us and motivate us. St. Bernardine of Siena, I believe he was a Franciscan, he made it very clear and decisive from this precept of our Lord. And he says, "Man in the occasion of sin has a choice to make. Either to leave the occasion or be cast into hell." He didn't give any other options. It was either run from that occasion and that danger or jump into hell. In the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 6, the Bible asks us, "Can a man hold fire and not expect his skin or garments to be scorched? Can he walk upon hot coals and his feet not be burnt? Let us then beware, as King Solomon says, for he that loveth danger shall perish in it." You know, the story of Icarus, how he rashly went too close to the sun, melted and ruined his wings, and fell from the sky, crashing onto the earth, it is, of course, a myth. It never happened. But every day, a very true and a very sad story happens. Men rashly run into the occasions of sin and uncaringly fall into it. And how many have lost or will lose their soul because of it? It might have been foolish for Icarus to fly into the sun with his wax wings, but how much more foolish is it to contentedly and happily and blindly run into the occasions of sin, to fly blindly, so to speak, into the dangers of sin, and to risk eternity. Let us then not follow Icarus, my dear faithful, but let us remember the words we pray in the act of contrition. Let us not lose heaven. Let us not fall headlong into the pains of hell. And let us, most of all, not offend the heart of God. Let us repeat over and over the act of contrition and avoid the occasions of sin. By doing this, by being prudent and taking precautions, we follow the fatherly admonition of St. Paul that every one of us should possess his vessel, our soul, in sanctification and honor. We thus keep ourselves secure from the dreadful pains of hell. We preserve ourselves in attaining heaven. And we don't contribute to the pains, the grief, and the sorrow of the Sacred Heart. And as we continue walking our way through Lent, on our way through towards Calvary, let us consider more often, let us meditate on and compassionate our suffering Savior. Let us really pray our act of contrition and make reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.